Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I just updated my comic base with a 19.2 updater, which is supposed to make the sidekick work better for large collections, and I think I've been having trouble with the sidekick, which is it's kind of like an automatic updater, and it also does like backups to the server and all kinds of other stuff. But I haven't been running with it because it's been crashing on me. The sidekick runs as like a daemon in the right-hand corner of your app, and it's been having trouble with my collection, and the updater should help now. I've been getting around it by manually doing it, which is just going to the app itself and saying go to internet and say check for updates and then doing the update manually, which I kind of like. I like controlling my updates rather than having it do it for me. But this updater is supposed to help Sidekick, so that should be good. So Comic Base will stay in sync. I especially like it with the backups to the server because it takes your database and backs it up to a server in case something crashes. So I have a couple of recent procurements at the comic shop. I'm working on my Flash collection because of my wrap. And then I like this issue so much that I bought it. I read it on Marvel Unlimited. It was Tales of Suspense number 76. It's the first Batroc in a cover. And they were after this device that was a weapon, and I really freaking enjoyed this Tales of Suspense. Got a really nice copy of it. It's Tales of Suspense 76. It says The Gladiator, The Girl, and The Glory. And it's got Peggy Carter. But I'm getting them confused. Shannon Carter and Peggy Carter. I think it's one or the other. And it's important because the first appearance of Peggy Carter is worth a lot of money, and I think it's an issue after this one. So I think it's 77. I should actually look it up for you so I don't give you some bad information. So I'm going to my comic base. It'll give me a chance to inventory it too. And I'll say Tales of Suspense. And let's go there. And it's loading all the covers. And I wanna go to, so I'm gonna go file, jump to issue 76. It takes me to 76. And this is the first appearance of Ultimo, first appearance of them, and the first, it says the first appearance of Batroc. But I thought in another one it was another issue. And it does say it's the first appearance of Agent Carter, but that can't be right. Because 75 is that issue. So this has some information I need to update. But I like that issue a lot. And I would like to track down 75 because I read it. They had 73 at the comic shop. That has the Black Knight on the cover. And I didn't read 73. I started with issue 74. And they did have 74. I should probably pick up the ones I've read if they have them. But I do need to get into my, the field for this is duplicated across, two issues. And I think it's false on one of them. And I think it's issue 76. 75 is the real first appearance of, Batroc and Shannon Carter. And then Peggy Carter's first appearance is 77, so it's soon afterwards. That one's gone up in Price because of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, and then she appeared in a movie. And it really hasn't come down. And so got to update that. So then I got a couple more issues of Flash. And I did this off of memory, so I hope I didn't duplicate it. So we go to Flash First Series, and I got issue – this one's a beautiful cover because it has all the rogues on it. It's issue 155, and if we do the same thing, edit, jump, 155, 155, and it's probably a fine condition. And this one here is an awesome cover. It's got the Pied Piper, Mirror Master, Captain Cold, the Top, Captain Boomerang, and Heatwave on the cover. And it says, the Pied Piper, Mirror Master, Captain Cold to the right of him, the Top, Captain Boomerang, and Heatwave to the left of him. And into the gauntlet of supervillains charged the Scarlet Speedster. Careful, Flash, there's a seventh supervillain at the end of this gauntlet. Mightier and more dangerous than the other six combined. Shit, we gotta open this up right now and find out who's in there. This is also the second appearance of Heatwave, believe it or not, and I just bought the first appearance. So I'm cheating. There's a Gorilla Grodd. No, it's Gorilla Grodd. I had to know who the character was, so I cheated. And I see how they say more dangerous than the other six, because Gorilla Grodd is usually a match for himself, where the rogues usually have to team up across the board to take him on. And then we have Flash number 125. So 125. Man, this collection is looking really nice. And this one is a key appearance. I didn't even know it was. I'm happy to say I have the first appearance of the Cosmic Treadmill. Son of a bitch. I'm very happy about that. I didn't even know it. And how about that? Ooh, he did have the second appearance of Captain Boomerang, which is 124, and I don't have it. And I think I want it. I want it, I want it, I want it. So close, so close, so close. He also has near mint copy of Flash 131, and that's Green Lantern on it. So yeah, those are some recent pickups, and I have to let Harley out. She wants to go out for some reason, and it's getting cold, which is really weird. I just took her for a mile walk, and she doesn't usually want to go out. Oh, and I do have another box full of comics that arrived today, but I'm not going to go over them. I'm going to save that for another episode. Then a lot of Daredevils. I completed my Atari Force and bought some Arak, Son of Thunder. Should be fun. And I also wanted to mention to you, I have started another podcast. It's Mike M's DC Spotlight. It's on the DC Noise feed. So if you like this, if you like Mike M's Weekly Reads, I think you're going to really enjoy Mike M's DC Spotlight. I focus on a character, an event, or a creator in DC every month. And there's going to be at least two episodes per month. And the first episode premiered. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it and you want to give another podcast a chance, and like this one, you should go over to DCNoisePodcast.com or subscribe to DC Noise Podcast, and you will get that in your RSS feed. So I wanted to plug that. And then we're off to some questions. And we should have, I have a lot of questions. I thought I would get like one or two because I said, hey, I need some questions for the weekend. And I got a slew of them. So we'll start with the first one from my friend Ronnie Barron. He says, when you go to cons, which I know it's about meeting up with your brothers, well, but when you do have time to dig into long boxes or whatever, do you have targets in mind or do you just dive in on what catches your eye? This has changed a lot over the past decade or so of going to cons. I think we started going to cons in 2005. It could be 2006. I can't remember. Went to San Diego Con, I think, in 2006. And when I started meeting up with all my friends on the East Coast, I think it was a little bit later, like 2006 or 2007. But to get to your question, when I used to go to cons, I used to get as many good deals as I could. And I'd go to my favorite vendors and buy a lot of older issues, primarily Silver Age, and target around the fine condition. And I was looking for runs and runs of stuff. And I'd end up getting like 3 long boxes worth of shit. And then I'd have to ship it back. And it was expensive. Even though I got deals back, I had to package them and ship them, and which means I'd miss some of the con on Sunday or wherever I had to find a place to get to ship all these books. And that's the way I used to do stuff. Well, now it's turned into more of a target, a high-priced book. So I've been targeting key appearances of characters that I have trouble finding other places. So the last year, I bought a Daredevil number one. I think the year before, I targeted a Marvel Spotlight featuring the first appearance of Ghost Rider. I bought a Daredevil number two. So it's really concentrated to more high-profile books than getting a bunch of a lot more. And that way, I take the book with me on the plane, and it's with me the whole time. So that's what has changed. I don't go long box diving anymore. Because a couple of reasons, too, is my comic shop is so good, and it ships to my door, and most of the stuff that is, like, cheaper, I can get at my comic shop for the same price, if not cheaper, than at a con. So that's changed a lot of my strategy. And at cons, I used to spend a lot of money on art, and I've stopped. I'll get like 1 or 2 commissions as opposed to I used to get like 6 or 7 commissions, and then artist rates just started going up. And I'm talking about doubling and tripling from year to year. And then having to get on lists and having to be stressed that they're going to finish your art. And I'm almost getting out of the art game. But I still like to hit the people that I know are going to, that are friends of mine, that are going to do a damn good job. And they will get me my art. And if they don't get it done at the con, I know they will get it to me because they know me. So, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to target this year. It might be a key flash. Yeah, it won't be showcase number 4, I'll tell you that. But Barb would go into shock. I don't know what it'll be. The other thing I target, and I still have one more to go, I think, is I'm targeting Golden Age comic books with the Freedom Fighters in it. And I have several of the Uncle Sam comics. So I got Uncle Sam covered. I have Black Condor covered because of a great birthday gift that my co-hosts and friends have all chipped in to buy me, thanks to Rob Krieger. So I've gotten a Black Condor. I had several police comics, which have the Human Bomb and Phantom Lady and Plastic Man up. Even though he's not a freedom fighter, he's one of my favorites. The only one I'm missing, I think, now is the Ray. And what comic is he in? Crack Comics. So I need to find a Crack comic, and then I think I've hit my goal of at least having one comic book with a freedom fighter in it. And oh, of course, Dollman. I have a Dollman, and I believe he appeared in Feature Comics, and I have one of each. I do have more of Dollman than I do of anything, because my comic shop had a couple of them, and I got them on really good deals. And to tell you the truth, they're fantastic deals, too, usually because not a lot of people go for the quality characters like I do. You got to remember, Quality also had GI Combat, so maybe that's what I'll look for before they came over to DC. So there's a lot of interesting things. The next question is from Ross. He always asks the best questions because they have humor in it. And he sent a picture of somebody's house collapsing into the ground. And he says, "Your house's foundation is sinking under the weight of your collection. You must sell off 10% of your books to save your house. What goes first?" This one makes you sweat, I know, but for Lab Barb's sake, that's my wife, what will you do? Well, I'll tell you right now, it won't be the comics. You word it like the comics, but weight is weight. And what would go first are the toys. I used to collect toys like a madman all the way through the 80s and 90s. Up to the 2000s, and I recently stopped because it was just too much, but I think it was around 2013. So I have like all the DC direct toys, almost every statue that they've ever. Statues are heavy too, and they're big and they're boxing, so I would go with those. I would get rid of my omnibuses because those are heavier than fuck. All those Marvel omnibuses and big encyclopedias and stuff, I think I would give them away first before touching my collection. But is that really fair? probably not. But because I'm not really addressing your comic book, but weight is weight. And I'll get rid of the couches and the bed first. And all the statues, the kitchen. I'm sure the stove waves a lot. We'll get rid of the stove and the table, the kitchen table, because long boxes could become the kitchen table. How about that for an answer, Ross? But in all seriousness, it would be a really tough thing to do. I think I would get rid of a lot of Image stuff. Minus Savage Dragon and Spawn, they stay. Young Blood, all of the ones that they launched with would stay. And then all their artiste type things, they would go. Walking Dead, gone. Saga, gone. My heart isn't with them. They're great stories, but. And there's some fantastic stuff in their profile, but. As good as the stories are, and they might rank a 5 out of 5, I very seldom will go back to them, whereas stuff that's in continuity and DC and Marvel and stuff, I want to reread. So that would be gone. Valiant would stay. DC would stay. Marvel potentially could go because I have Unlimited. It would be tough. Psychologically, but I think I could get rid of Marvel. Ultraverse would stay, because I'm a complete run of that. My John Sables have to stay. I mean, there's some companies that would get waivers. Yeah, it'd be tough. It'd be really tough. At some point, I have to make the decision because I'm not going to live forever. So I'll be talking to you, Ross. Maybe you could help me psychologically on Skype, and we could talk through it. Thanks for the great question. Kyle, who is probably the biggest promoter of my shows. Kyle has been on Mike M's Collected Corner, and he was awesome. And he promotes all my stuff by retweeting. Like, everything I do, he retweets like clockwork. And I'm very, very grateful because it just gets my show out there. It might gain one or two listeners, but it'll get people to look. And I really appreciate that. Plus, he plays a damn good guitar. So he asks, are you enjoying the current X-Men books? What are your thoughts? I was until I got Squirrel. I was enjoying Gold and Blue very, very much, for different reasons. I think continuity-wise and the way it was tying into things, I enjoyed Blue more than Gold. But Gold had a lot of stuff in it I liked, and I read all the way up to the Mojo World crossover, which crossed over into both of them. And then I kind of dropped off temporarily because of other things, Squirrel. And but I think they're really good. They captivated my attention, and I really enjoyed where they were going because they took a lot of elements of the past and built upon them in these story arcs. And I thought they would have been really good with Guggenheim and who's on the other one? Is it Cullen Bunn? Have done a great job. The art's been pretty solid. I've been happy with them. I know a lot of X-Men fans that they claim they're hardcore X-Men fan don't like them. Some of them think they're all right. I think they're great, but I can't consider myself a hardcore X-Men, even though I've read more than almost anybody. I don't feel real vested with them. I think I've never really bonded to them, even though I love their comics sometimes. So they're working for me on a lot of levels, and I'm thoroughly entertained, and I don't think anything like got into the 3 out of 5s for me. They were all 4 out of 5s, so I've been really pleased. Steven Evers, this is a good question. I like these questions. I like to talk to collectors. Matter of fact, if everything works out well this weekend, there will be another Mike M's Collected Corner. And I hope it works out because I like talking. I hate doing interviews with a passion. But I do like interviewing other collectors. Like, I don't want to interview a writer or an artist. I just don't like it. I don't even listen to them unless it's something like strange, like a Charles Forsman or something that, you know, I read that just blows my fucking mind. And I want to know why this person dropped out of high school to make comic books about depression. I'm just fascinated with the backstory, but it's a collecting question, and I like these. Steven asks, I need to organize my collection of about 25 short boxes. How would you recommend tackling this project? What is the first step? The first step is to talk to your wife and say, I'm going to get this done by a certain date, and I'm going to need some space in order to do this merge. I think 25 long boxes is very manageable. I think I could do it in a weekend. So I would say I need the living room for this much time, and I think the first step I would do is merge it. And then once I've merged it into, so all the books are together in order alphabetically by company, and then the way I would do it is DC, Marvel, and other. And then you alphabetize the other by company name, and then go in order of alphabetically of the titles. And then once you have all those 25 long boxes in order, you grab a piece of paper, and then you go inventory all of it, because you want to get it into a database. And I'd recommend Comic Base if you're serious. If you're not hardcore, you think that you're going to sell stuff eventually, or I would go for a lower end database, but you need to get these into the database. And Comic Base already has all that artist stuff and all that stuff, so all you'd have to do is say, you could highlight, let's say you had 1 to 10 of Superman Volume 2. You could highlight 1 to 10 and say quantity equals 1, and then bang. So if you had them all sequentially, it'd be easy. If you really were invested, before you do the merge, and you have, and if they're current comic books and they have a barcode scanner, I would just scan them in after you've merged them. Open one box, scan it in, boom. Scan in the next box, scan in the next box, and then label the box A. And then you could say A has this, B has this. And then during that process, you can choose to bag and board them if you haven't already done it. But the best bet is when you buy the books is to bag and board them as you get them. If you want to keep going and do things right, the way you do it is you buy the books, you get them into the database. If you're anal about the digital codes, before you bag and board them, and you're not anal about, and you want a digital copy and a physical copy, you could take the Marvel and DC Comics and take the sticker and then load them into the redeem code before you bag and board it. That's what I'd do. And then you put it into the box and then merge it. So because you have these 25 long boxes, sounds like they're out of order, I'd recommend doing it like I said. I think it will work out well. But the key is getting your spouse to say, go for it, but know what you're getting into. Like, don't get distracted. Know that you have to get it out by a certain date, and go with it from there. Dallo Spicer, Valiant fan, says, on the back of Ronnie's questions, what recent bargains have you purchased? Well, I just talked about some Flashes and A Tale of Suspense, and in a future one, you will get what I ordered from mycomicshop.com. But I am working on that Daredevil collection, and after this purchase, after I inventory, I gotta inventory it, make sure it's all there. And they didn't short me, or I should have all the Daredevils minus one of the regular series volume one, and then I have everything else beyond it. So that means I have everything Daredevil ever published with the title Daredevil. There might be some mini series like Daredevil and Spider-Man or something like that that I don't have, but everything that's titled or volumed Daredevil I will have. Minus my thing for annuals, I still have to complete a few annuals here and there. So I got about, I don't know, 5 or 6 annuals, and then everything will be complete. But the ones that I just purchased, just to reiterate, are Flash, The first appearance, Cosmic Treadmill, Flash 125. The second appearance of Heat Wave, and this has the Rogues and Grodd, is 155. And the first appearance of Batroc on the cover is Tales of Suspense, number 76. So, those are some recent procurements that I talked about earlier. Last question is from Drew, who does, I should mention what Ronnie does. I should plug Ronnie's shows. Hopefully I'll have them all listed here. So Ronnie Barron is the co-host and host of Absolute DC Podcast, Aftershock Central Podcast, the Timey Wimey Podcast Hour, that's a Doctor Who podcast, the Open Bar Podcast, which is like a DC Noise, if you like that, where they're drunk off their fucking asses and they're talking about shit. Those are the main podcasts that he does. And having said that, I'm going to go promote Drew's podcast. So Drew is the co-host to two podcasts that I listen to. One is the weekly comic book podcast from John Mayo. What is that called exactly? The Comic Book Page, the weekly podcast. And that's where they cover one DC, one Marvel, and one other every week from that week. And I think it gives you a week and a half, if not two, before they go over a book. So it's been out already. And they try to not do spoilers. They try to hit some highlights, but they try not to like give away any key oh my god moments. He also does Comics for Fun and Profit, which is like a speculator podcast where they'll pick a few books every week that they speculated on. And it's also a good way to know what's coming out, because they sort of go through the diamond list and pick out some highlights. So if you're interested in knowing what Image Comics coming out that week or DC or something, you might catch that. It's a show of him and his brother that they've been doing it for a while. They're more regular than I am. And even though I've been podcasting a lot longer, I think they've hit some bigger numbers. And if you really want to go to one-stop shopping, you can get both of Drew's podcasts at the same RSS. But he asks, Brian Michael Bendis, they're going to rename Superman. I didn't know this. I thought it was going to be a new Superman title. I didn't realize they're going to renumber Superman for him, but, if that is the case, I'm okay with it. They didn't go back to their legacy numbering like Marvel did, only with two titles. And I don't think they're going to change that ever again. They made the mistake of doing that during Rebirth. And then the New 52 is the only time they've ever renumbered Action Comics and Detective Comics. Those are the only two books that have always had their original numbering. And I don't think they're ever going to lose that ever again, personally. But we've had three volumes of Superman, so this will be the fourth. So I don't think it's a big deal. It's not like they're saying Action Comics is going to be renumbered. So I think in DC's case, it's an isolated, that's your question, it's an isolated incident. Probably, unless they have something to promote. Or some big creator that they can promote. Or if it's another Rebirth, then they'll renumber everything. But hopefully it'll be like Rebirth, where they kept the original legacy of Detective and Action Comics.
and at least show you that they have two comic books that will remain in legacy numbering. Will Marvel keep their numbering? No, Marvel sales go down, they will renumber again. They just went to legacy numbering. They've been floundering, so they're like, what can we do? Let's do something. Let's go back to the original numbering, and we'll hit like Spider-Man 800 and all his numbers. And they probably didn't do Marvel 2-in-1 because it had already passed the 100 century mark. And they did, even though they did with Tales of Suspense, because Tales of Suspense led into Captain America 100, so it doesn't make any sense why they did what they did. They weren't consistent. I think the marketing team said we can make more money off of Marvel 2-in-1 number 1 than we'll make out of Marvel 2-in-1 number 101. So they probably should have done the same thing with Tales of Suspense, to tell you the truth. But they could have like said, we're only going to do legacy numbering with things that are close to some milestone, like Avengers and Spider-Man and some of those bigger titles, and been a little more consistent with what they were doing. That's all people ask for, some level of sanity and thinking and logic behind it. People like rules. Collectors like rules. And then when they feels like they break the rules, then they don't like it. DC did do a numbering shenanigan, though. They renumbered Batman. No, wait. Sorry. Detective. They went back to legacy numbering with Rebirth. But they did not do the legacy numbering with the annuals. The Detective should have been like annual number 8 if they kept the legacy numbering going with Detective. But no, they have to go back to number 1. And what did that do? That fucked up the whole database, okay? Because databases have logic behind them. And what Comic Base chose to do was put it with Volume 1, Detective, and instead of put the next number, which is kind of what I would have preferred if they would have called it number 7. That would have been the real fix if DC just labeled it 7. And then, or whatever that number was. And then in the notes section says, cover shows issue number 1. That's what I would have preferred in the database. But instead, they chose to go the other route and say, I'm not going to give it a number in the database. I'm going to call it 2018. So it'll say Detective Annual 2018. Which is okay. I just preferred the other way, so it shows the legacy numbering. But, yeah, that they fucked that up. And archiving's a bitch. I mean, I'm a hardcore collector. I like things to be a certain way. I prefer the, even though people love art, I prefer the barcode scanner on the bottom left-hand corner. And it'll let me scan through the Mylar. If I need to scan it to sell it or scan it to archive it, I could go right through the Mylar. Image puts the barcodes on the back, which sucks, because you don't want to bag and board a comic book without the cover and just show the back. And then, so if you want to inventory it with the barcode scanner, you have to fucking take the tape off, open the Mylar, scan the book, okay? Yeah, problems of a collector. The other thing that I know I'm kind of doing a tangent on collecting, but the other thing that it bothers me is the numbering. I like the number to be at the top of the book, because when you have a long box or a short box, you like to get your little fingers on the side and you rub your fingers through it and you go issue 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you like to see the number. If you're looking down on the box, well, that makes it a bitch when they put that number on the bottom or inside of the little barcode. It'll say like number 1, or Vertigo has a habit of putting numbers wherever they goddamn feel like it. Grass Kings puts it, like, in the logo. So, like, you'll see Grass Kings, and you'll see this funky little thing. And in the middle somewhere, it'll say, like, 1, 2, like, in this really small font. Makes it really hard for an archivist. A hardcore collector that loves his books and loves to go merging and digging in through his boxes. But some little anal tips for comic collecting. I want to thank you all for the questions. They've been fantastic. They keep this podcast going. It keeps my momentum, keeps my thought process. So again, thank you to Ronnie, Ross, Kyle, Steven, Dallo. I should pronounce that right all the time because I do talk to Dallo a lot. He's a hardcore Valiant guy. And Drew, I want to thank you all for providing these great questions and keep them coming. You don't have to wait for me to ask. Just keep them coming. I will grab them and put them in a file, and that way I always have questions in stock. Because it gets the thought process going, and you've already just me rattling and talking. These questions provide 40 minutes worth of me rambling before I even get to the Mike M's Weekly Reads. So thank you again, and we'll be back with the Weekly Reads. And welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads, where we're going to start breaking down what I read for a couple of weeks here. When I record these, they're usually a week after I recorded the first part, because I usually like to do the rambling when I'm home by myself, and the other part is more systematic, because I'm just reading off what I read during a list. And I just want to say I'm in a rabbit hole again right now. I started a new DC podcast that you could check out at DC Noise. It's kind of like a Mike M's DC weekly or a spotlight. It's not weekly necessarily, and the first episode's out, and the second one I'm preparing for, and I've been reading a lot of Superman, and I've been really enjoying it. Led me down a couple of rabbit holes. You know, I've been reading the Garcia Lopez Tales of Superman, or was it Legends? I can't remember, but There is a hardcover out, and I am reading it digitally because I got it for $4.99, and that's how I started the podcast, and it kind of got to the Superman versus Wonder Woman story, and then branched out into reading Wonder Woman, believe it or not, from that. You can see how the rabbit hole's going, and I went back and read New 52 Tail End of Wonder Woman, which was by Meredith Finch. I absolutely loved it. And that rabbit hole led me back kind of like Superman Wonder Woman issues that I haven't read in the New 52. And that was kind of hard to get back into because it was crossed over with Action and all the Superman books, because it was the Doomsday thing where Superman actually turned in, got like a Doomsday virus. And I don't know why, but it led me to Justice League United, which kind of Superman related because it had a team up with the Legion of Superheroes. Supergirl is the link there. And that was fantastic. Jeff Lemire, and I can't remember the artist, but very Kevin Maguire, Adam Hughes type artist. A crossover where they had to come back and fight Infantis, who was really Ultra, which is a Silver Age character that morphs into him in the past. So the Legion had to go back to the past to stop the future from ending. And it turned out to be a really good crossover. And then I finally got back to Superman. And I started reading some 20 Cent Superman. And I really enjoyed those. And then that led me to a different era of Superman, which was the Exile of Superman when he's in space, because he actually killed some villains, the Zod, the Kryptonians. And
I read some Steel, and that was fantastic. It was a one shot by Peter Tomasi and Jim Aparo with Dick Giordano on inks. So that was really a surprise, and I really loved that one. That was really good. And now it's leading me to a couple issues of Superboy. So that's what I've been doing. I'm a rabbit hole guy, and I have a lot to talk about some back issue purchases, but I'll save that for the next episode, and we'll jump into the weekly reads. And I have some questions from Drew of Comics for Fun and Profit that I'll get into in a future episode. So let me make sure I start at the right week. So this is I'm gonna kill 2 weeks in one episode here, and we're gonna talk the week beginning April 3rd through April 9th. And we have the Netflix ratings again. 5, I love it. 4, really like it. 3, I like it. 2, did not like it. And 1, hated it. And surprisingly, there were a couple of 2s. And I remember not liking this. This was kind of painful. And it's a popular book as far as like being worth some money. But it was Image, and I remember liking issue 1, and then after that it just went downhill. And it's usually odd for me to read a bundle of books of issues and then really not like it. But I read Monstrous 2 through 6, and it's two factions are at war, humans versus Monstrous's race. One woman has a monster inside of her, and she is at the focus of the story as a faction of witches are after her. She hangs out with a fox girl and a cat who can talk. But that's all I had to say about 6 issues or 2 issues, and I didn't like it. The other one was from Scout Comics, and this one I don't remember not liking, but I guess I didn't like it. I think it was more art and not a lot of story, but that was my biggest complaint. It was called Once Our Land, number 1 and 2. A mysterious box shows up and takes a boy into a world of strange creatures during 1852. He later comes back out of the box to help a little girl fight the monsters with salt. So, did I go over how many issues I read? No, I haven't. So that week there were a total of 27. There were 3 Vault, 2 Scout, 2 Marvel, 9 Image, 5 DC, and 6 Avatar. Now we jump into the 3 out of 5s, which means I liked it, but they weren't great to me. As you know, I struggle with Tom King's Batman, and I continue to struggle. And I'm looking for a change, but I'm one in the minority. I hope that it. And it's weird too, because I don't like his Mr. Miracle either. So. Yeah, it's odd for me to say that, but I mean they're not bad. The writing just the dialogue just kills me. But a lot of people enjoy it, and that's cool. And there's no reason to take off somebody from a book if it's selling well. A lot of people are Mr. Miracle's the best thing ever, so I mean probably sell better than with what I would like, so it's a better choice. But this and Batman 20, Batman takes out Bane with a headbutt. This was like a. I hated this. This should have been a 2 out of 5. As the fight is going on, he's remembering his mother and recaps the issues with Bane. The one right above it at a 3 out of 5 is Powerless. This is Vault. In a world where people have powers, a virus is now threatening to take the powers away and, in some cases, kill people or burn them out. So I gave that a 3 out of 5. I thought I liked that one a little bit more, just like I did Once Our Land. So I don't remember, just liking it. I thought it was a little bit above, but I guess not. And it's also how you feel. This week I must have been grouchy because I don't usually give 2 out of 5s. So, Blue Beetle number 7, we go to the 4 out of 5s, and this was Jaime extracted from the armor. Dr. Fate battles Blue Beetle in the past, and he's linked to Arion, sorry, Lord of Atlantis. I gotta finish that series at some time, and he is a big bad. There's a mention of Ted having a bad heart, and
art by Scott Collins, which I really like. I like his art a lot. I have some commissions from him. He's a flash artist. That's what he's best known for. Matter of fact, if you go to a convention and he's drawing commissions, it's usually Captain Cold or Heatwave or Flash or some Flash character. We have Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps. I think it's number 17 because I searched my list to see what it was, but I didn't have a number there. Hal admits Kyle is the greatest Green Lantern. I love that because I'm a Kyle guy. Kyle tries to revive the Blue Lantern Corps and lose the white light, but becomes a Green Lantern again and creates more rings. So that was that. And then we get into an image book, Trees 12 through 14. These ones I really liked. This is a focus on the mayor in New York and a researcher in Britain. There's a war in New York. Still don't know what's really going on with these trees, but I really, really love it. And I don't know if this ever came back, so I'm going to go look at my database. This is a Warren Ellis story. And I'm going to see if I have more issues of it. See, I ended on 14. And that's it. So it never finished. The series never came back as promised. It's another fall or another... what was the other one that he wrote for Avatar that was so awesome? Can't remember. If I think of it, I'll mention it. Odyssey of the Amazons, number 3. This is a DC mini. This is the Valkyries attack the Amazons and start killing them. Amazons come up with a plan against them. That's a good series. This is by, if I remember correctly, it's by the creator of the Underworld movies, which I did see at San Diego Comic-Con one year. I saw him speak. He's got a really deep voice. Kevin Grivox, I believe his name is. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. We have Batman Beyond, number 6. This is Bruce back at the cave and introduced to everyone. Barbara and Kireri attacked by the League of Assassins. Terry and Dana, they're out having their relationship, and he refuses to answer the bat signal. That was a good issue. I remember that one. Heathen, number 1 and 2. This is a Viking woman fable as she rescues a banished Valkyrie, but is captured by the Valkyries. She is a lesbian and outcast by her own people. We have Mercury Heat, number 1 through 6. This is sci-fi. A cop investigates a murder on Mercury and uncovers conspiracy to destroy its power source for Earth. We have Daredevil number 119. This is a renumbering of Daredevil before this last renumbering, so you can see how much they do it. It was Daredevil 119, and then it jumps to Daredevil 500. So Daredevil 119 was the Kingpin versus Daredevil versus the Hand and Lady Bullseye. So it was a big penultimate issue up to 500. And then in 500, Daredevil accepted the leadership of the Hand and Master Izzo's plan. Lady Bullseye is removed, and the hit on Foggy to kill him is lifted. So that was for the week of April 3rd through April 9th. And then we jump down to the week of April 10th through April 16th. We'll start at the bottom for a total of 28 comics. There were 9 Valiant, and DC had 19. I read a lot of DC. We have Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number 5. They had to stop the Mad Hatter from taking over all of New York. This was rated a 4 out of 5. So this week I was really good mood because I gave everything a 4 out of 5. And there was some 5 out of 5s which were Valiant. We have Looney Tunes 236. This is a dating game issue. And also the origin of Tweety and Sylvester. That was a good issue. I like that. We have Mother Panic. This is a 4 out of 5. This series has really grown on me. I've become in love with this book, actually. Mother Panic working with another student that caused the fires. And that kid is actually from the same place that where the homeless children were at, where they adopt kids that she grew up in, a crazy place. Confronts her crazy mom on several occasions. Her mom is weird, man. Gotham radio show back up as a villain confronts the radio show producer about her father. Her father actually turns out to be a very obscure DC hero. We have Cyborg number 11 has to boob tube from the rats and gets caught up in an 8-bit world. Like, what I mean by 8-bit, like Atari 8-bit, where he is, or Nintendo, I think, was 8-bit. The first generation Nintendo was 8-bit, I think. Where he is fighting H-8-bit, who was a former school friend. And it's like 8-bit. It's spelled H, the number 8-bit, 8-bit. Get it? 8-bit. We got Teen Titans number 6. Aqualad is introduced to the team, and he's this is the Aqualad from the Young Justice series, and he's going to the Teen Titans headquarters, and Sea Life is being killed, and it has King Shark. We have Batman 66 and Wonder Woman 77 number 3. Batman, Robin, and Catwoman go to Paradise Island to warn Wonder Woman of the League of Assassins. They find the Lazarus Pit there in Themyscira. So we have Hellblazer number 8. Mercury has to post bail for Constantine, and they go after a book that was taken from a kid and have to make an unholy alliance. We have Adam Strange, Future Quest number 1. This was the Hanna-Barbera meets the DC Universe. It continues from Future Quest as the Zeta Beam transfers Adam to a strange world where he forgets who he is. One of the evil organizations imprisoned there wants him to take him off the world. Batman and Top Cat back up with Catwoman. We have Exo Man of War. I think this is Volume 4. This is the Matt Kent Exo. It takes place in the future, and he just wants peace, to kind of be left alone, and is aware of the Exo suit, but is keeping it to the side, like he doesn't want to put it on, and he gets pulled into the war as a barbarian. We have Batgirl Annual number 1. It's the first team up with Supergirl to save a female, and I mean in the Rebirth era, to save the first appearance of Gale from Cadmus. It has a backup story, which is a date with her friend Alyssa, and they fight Riot Black, which is trying to get his brain hooked up into the internet. He was kind of a cool villain. We have Nightwing number 18 versus Professor Pig to rescue Sean, which is his girlfriend, and I think at this time he believes she is pregnant with his child, and he's with Damian. The main villain turns out to be Dr. Simon Hurt, which you'll remember from the Morrison run of Batman. Rest in peace. Deathwing captures Robin. We have Doom Patrol number 5. That's Negative Man comes back with Robot Man to find Danny the Street is going to make the ultimate sacrifice to take down the Vector villains. And Flex Metallo is not dead. We have Harley Quinn number 17. Where is she, by the way? Because it's cold outside. I'll speak of her. She's coming to the door, but she must have been laying in the sun. But it is getting windy, like really windy outside. We had a little bit of snow last night. And we went for our mile walk, and it was cold. Yeah. Where was I? Harley Quinn number 17. More homeless being taken as Harley goes undercover to find out what is going on so she can get captured as a homeless person. We have Aquaman number 20. That was a good issue, a good arc with where they were capturing homeless people. It got real political in a humorous kind of way. We have Green Arrow number 20. Team Arrow defeats the Wild Dogs. And yes, they're dressed like Wild Dog. And an organization on the res flashbacks with Count Vertigo and Roy, because Roy is in this, the Red Arrow. We have Aquaman number 20. Mera has to drain all the water in the facility to defeat Deadwater. One of the crew had the virus, was killed. Who had the virus was killed. Aquaman and Mera swimming into danger. We have Deathstroke number 15 and 16 saved by Power Girl. And this is not the Power Girl with the circle on her boobs. This is the young Power Girl that was introduced, I think, in New 52 as a Titan. And she's appearing in Deathstroke. Deathstroke was left blind, and she develops a device because she's really smart. She's almost like Moon Girl. So he can see. Deadline attacks and kills Power Girl. Her body heals. Rose warns Jericho of the marriage. In other words, that his marriage is not going to be what he thinks it's going to be. Because if you know Slade, he's fucking his wife, his son's wife. It's pretty fucked up. Eisner nominated Deathstroke. Fall and Rise of Captain Atom number 4. Establishing the new Captain Atom upon his return sets up Max Thrain, death row inmate, to be a major villain. I have to finish that series. I think I'm one issue shy of finishing it. Superman number 20. Batman and Robin visit the Kents with their new identities. Batman says Jonathan is going to be more powerful than Superman is, and is curious why he has not manifested powers, so they're questioning his abilities. Mr. Cobb and Cow are an evil entity. This leads up to like what currently is happening in Superman, up to the Manchester Black storyline. So it's a long time in the background on this book. We have Scooby-Doo team up number 24. It's a team up with Martian Manhunter. This is the last 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed this one. Team up with Martian Manhunter as aliens are framed and being prisoned. Great DC references to all the to at least the popular aliens in the DC universe. I think this is Shelley Fish, I think is his name is, and he's pretty freaking great with DC history, even though this is a kid book. All ages, fantastic. 5 out of 5 books go to Exo Man of War 47 through 50. This is the end of the Venditti run. Exo versus Thrill and the Torment. There's an unholy alliance with the Torment, absorb memories, and they transfer all the memories they have ever stored into Arrak. This was totally forgotten out of continuity in the current volume, but it was interesting. He's like a watcher, so he has all these memories. They were celestials, but absorb people on planets. So he should have like this ability, and he doesn't. At least they don't mention it. And I'm not caught up on it, but I am at least 4 issues deep on it, and I don't remember it ever being mentioned. Generation Zero, number 5 through 8. This is an ish a series from Valiant that a lot of people didn't dig. Well, guess who dug it? Me. This is a group versus Corner Man and cops of oh the twins that are part of Generation Zero get captured along with Keisha Sherman's brother. Animalia gets hurt. Jason Poole in with the Corner Men and gives his daughter power to fight Generation Zero. And that Jason Poole is a politician, and he did grant his daughter's a loon, powers to go fight Generation Zero. And that's all for 2 weeks. There were only 2 5 out of 5s, well, actually, several issues. Exo Man of War 47 through 50, and Generation Zero 5 through 8. Those were everything else I enjoyed, except some highlights. I didn't enjoy Monstrous, which seems to be a popular book. I don't really care for Once Our Land, and Batman continued to foil me, and continues to do so. So those ones are. I like elements of them. I can't really enjoy them for many reasons. So that's it. I hope you enjoyed it. And next episode, we have some questions, and I'll be talking about some recent purchases, and we'll go over some more weekly books. So I hope you enjoyed listening. And if you need to reach me, I am Mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's where my email is. And what else do I need to mention? Oh, I'm at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter. This is located on the Geek Brunch podcast feed, which is geekbrunchpodcast.com. And you can find us under Facebook under Geek Space Podcast, Geek Brunch, Geek Space Brunch Space Podcast, and click the like button and follow all episode threads there. And you can always leave an iTunes review and send me comments at all times. I will read them back, any questions and comments. And I think that's it. So we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.